Here are the WGXC headlines for Tuesday, March 14th. A massive winter storm is dumping more than a foot of snow on most of the WGXC listening area, some higher elevations seeing more than 2 feet. National Grid and Central Hudson are reporting many electricity outages throughout the Hudson Valley. U.S. and British banking officials are trying to stop a run on banks after two have failed, the California Silicon Valley Bank and New York Signature Bank. President Joe Biden is expected to sign an executive order on March 14th to increase the number of background checks to buy guns, promote better and more secure firearm storage, and ensure U.S. law enforcement agencies are getting the most out of the bipartisan gun control law enacted last summer. College basketball NCAA tournament opens this weekend with games in Albany between Connecticut, Drake, Indiana, Iona, Kent State, Miami, St. Mary's, and Virginia Commonwealth University. And public television station WMHT in Albany recently named Anthony Hayes, a longtime industry executive, as its new CEO to replace Robert Altman, who had held the job for the past 15 years. Hayes says he wants to put more local content on the local airwaves.
My name is, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM, which is true.
And I'm Tom Rowe in Acre. We are on WGXC.org/listen, WGXC.org, wavefarm.org this morning. Not on FM, as Central Hudson has lost power in our tower area. They were saying 10:30 a.m. was when it was would be restored. Now we're hearing noon, and we are still skeptical about those times. There's a lot to do out there. There's a lot of people without power. We had one statistic, approximately 80,000 customers in the capital region without power at the moment. Lots of them on Central Hudson, lots of them National Grid. Hopefully you're keeping warm wherever you are and staying off the roads. The Route 23 is still covered. I think now that the it's brighter outside, the sun is behind the clouds, but maybe the melting will be on the blacktop. But before, we could see just lots of white and a little bits of black on the Route 23, which is, the most plowed road in the area. All the other roads are going to be plowed less than Route 23, so don't go out. The roads are not in good shape, and they're not going to be in good shape all day because the snow's continuing to come down. We're going to continue to report all morning. We got some news updates, and all the schools are closed. Don't worry. Stay tuned. We'll tell you more about what's going on during the storm.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Russell Miller of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, March the 14th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. As the National Rifle Association gears up for annual events in Indianapolis, another group is speaking out about rifle handgun ownership and accessibility as gun-related crimes increase.
In advance of the NRA get-together, the group Hoosiers Concerned About Gun Violence will hold a teach-in to help shift the dialogue to focus on the surplus of firearms that contributes to an already violent society. The group's president, Jerry King, says it is proposing more background checks and improve enforcement of Indiana's red flag law to address gun-related incidents, including suicide, domestic violence, and homicide.
We live in a nation, we live in a city, in a state that's just awash with guns. And
King says he understands many people won't readily relinquish their firearms, and his group would support legislation to limit sales and possession of assault weapons. The teach-in event is scheduled for April 8th. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Those NRA events are coming up in downtown Indianapolis, April the 14th to the 16th. Education advocates are applauding Governor Chris Sununu's proposed state budget increase for higher education, but funding levels still remain some of the lowest in the nation.
The University System of New Hampshire would see state funding increase by roughly $10 million to just over $99 million by 2025, still short of funding levels seen more than a decade ago. Gene Martin, executive director of the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute, says that may not be enough to convince the nearly 60% of students leaving the state for college to stay.
I think the question is, how do we solve that problem as a state? Because obviously we can't grow our economy if we can't keep those students here in the state.
New Hampshire's workforce vacancy rate currently hovers around 20%. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Graduates of higher ed in New Hampshire currently carry the highest rate of student debt in the nation. Lawmakers take up Sununu's proposed budget this week. Now, national headlines. First, the New York Times. President Biden took his most aggressive step yet Monday to counter China's military expansion in the Asia-Pacific region, formally unveiling plans with Britain and Australia to develop and deploy nuclear-powered attack submarines. And from NBC News, the Biden administration Monday gave the green light to a oil drilling project in Alaska, opening the nation's largest expanse of untouched land to energy production. This is Public News Service. New York's public campaign finance program is facing delays from the very people who approved it, New York lawmakers.
The program was approved by the legislature in 2020 and aims to level the playing field of campaign donations for everyday New Yorkers and special interest groups. One element of the program is a matching system which allows contributions of less than $250 to be matched by a public fund. This means candidates would have to interact more with constituents for campaign funding instead of dialing for dollars. Legislators feel the uncertainty surrounding the state's redistricting process is why the program needs to be delayed. But Christina Harvey with Stand Up America says there's another reason why legislators want to delay the program's rollout.
I think that they're nervous, first, about having a little competition, because this will mean that folks who aren't necessarily connected to money donors in the same way you often need to be in New York to get elected to begin with will also have access to funding that they need to run campaigns and win.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
As part of the Inflation Reduction Act, the Interior Department has announced it is investing $120 million to restore and rebuild key segments of America's wildlife management systems, especially in key areas of the Midwest.
The money will be especially important in high-priority areas of the Midwest, known as prairie potholes, which are shallow wetlands where wildlife have been threatened, according to Christy Plummer with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
It is what we call the duck factory. A lot of waterfowl species spend really important components of their life within the prairie pothole region. It is a region that has a complicated set of both threats and opportunities within it.
I'm Mark Moran.
Finally, our Suzanne Potter reports that billboards have gone up across California, warning about the negative effects of unchecked mergers in the healthcare system.
The Protect California Patients campaign is a coalition of more than 30 organizations that support Assembly Bill 1091, which would give the Attorney General more oversight on mergers worth more than $15 million. Rachel Lynn Gish is with Health Access California, which is helping lead the campaign.
For 30 years, the Attorney General has successfully overseen many healthcare mergers that make sure that patients are protected, that vital services are continued, and that prices don't spike. And we want to extend that oversight to other entities in the market, like for-profit hospitals.
The billboards are visible on roadways in Northern California, the Central Valley, and in Los Angeles.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's a great radio station, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 14th, and my power just went out. Let that be a warning to everybody out there. The snow is wet and heavy. Charge your devices. Local early morning temperatures are riding that line. They range from 29 degrees in Tannersville to 32, literally just about everywhere else. Consider that your daily high. It is not getting any better. Regional average soil temperature is 35 degrees. So far, the snow seems heaviest away from the river. Snow totals, keep in mind that this is at 5:30 a.m., are already at 3.6 inches in Albany, 6 inches in Westkill, 8 inches in Austerlitz, and no other reports for the area are in. Mesonet sensors indicate 1 inch total accumulation on the ground in Copake, 3 in Red Hook, 13 in Durham, and 24 in Tannersville. It is still coming down. Snow is heavy. As it transitions, make sure your devices are charged in case power lines come down. I think you already heard that part. Snow keeps falling all day. Could be a mix for some on the ground, but definitely snow to the north and in any elevated areas. We can expect 6 inches or snow to fall. The hills should get a little more than a foot. Winds pick up as we head into the afternoon. Any travelers should beware of blowing snow and possible momentary whiteouts. After dark, winds keep getting stronger and the snow slowly weakens. Some of us could wake up to blinking alarm clocks. Most can expect another couple inches of snow overnight, and then tomorrow, it should taper off by noon. We will get a high of 37 degrees at 2 p.m. The mountain doesn't get that warm, so don't count on any melting. Wind gusts remain, keeping the hazards around. 24 degrees overnight takes us into a downright pleasant-looking Thursday with a high of 48 and relatively calm winds. Friday, rain for the ground dwellers and snow for the hill folk, and a high temperature of around 45 degrees for most. Sunset today will be at 5:46 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:05 a.m. Looking way up, we see the number of approaching coronal mass ejections has increased, and a couple sideswipes could set off geomagnetic unrest tomorrow. Solar wind speed is currently 442 kilometers per second at 13.5 chunky protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad for all frequencies till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 87, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
I'm Tom Rowe with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, March 14th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter storm warning through 8 a.m. Wednesday, March 15th. The National Weather Service says that, quote, heavy, wet snow is expected. Total snow accumulations of 12 to 24 inches with localized totals of 2 to 3 feet across the higher terrain of the eastern Catskills and Helderbergs. Winds gusting as high as 40 miles per hour can be expected. The National Weather Service also warns that, quote, travel will be very difficult to impossible, including the Tuesday morning and evening commutes. The weight of the heavy snow on tree branches will result in power outages. Snowfall rates will exceed 2 inches per hour at times, especially Tuesday morning. Strong winds will also result in very low visibility, especially Tuesday into Tuesday night. Governor Kathy Hochul warned New Yorkers to be safe during a very intense storm that is expected to dump 1 to 3 feet of snow locally from now through March 15th. Hochul said on March 13th that, quote, this will be a dangerous storm. Please stay off the roads for your own safety. Stay in your homes, also for the safety of these incredible men and women throughout upstate New York who will be giving up their time working around the clock to make sure that the roads are plowed, unquote.
We are looking at what I would call another episode of March Madness. And because of the timing, everybody were saying stay home, work on your brackets, and make sure that you're supporting our New York State teams that have made the finals. So let's make sure that we are home safe. That's the number one message. There's no reason in the world to have plans to be out.
Hochul put a state of emergency into effect at 8 p.m. on March 13th. Most local schools are closed March 14th because of the snowstorm, including the following: Averill Park, Berkshire Community College, Berlin, Caro-Durham, Catskill, Chatham, Columbia Green Community College, Coxsackie, Athens, Emma L. Miller Memorial School, Ichabod Crane, East Greenbush, Germantown, Grapeville Christian School, Greenville, Hawthorne Valley School, Hudson's, and the Board of Education meeting has been postponed to March 16th, Hunter Tannersville, Lee, Lenox, New Lebanon, Pine Plains, Pittsfield Public Schools, Ravina, Queeman, Selkirk, RPI College, Skodak, Taconic Hills, and Wyndham Ashland Jewett schools are all closed today. Also, Greene County Transit is closed. There is no transportation, no public buses running in Greene County. Coark Adult Transportation and Columbia County buses are not running. Dutchess County has issued a state of emergency. The state's state of emergency means no Daily Mail or Register Star newspapers will be delivered, and the HudsonValley360.com website will be free. On March 13th, Governor Kathy Hochul juggled two storms with several feet of snow headed to New York and a banking crisis potentially spreading from coast to coast. California Silicon Valley Bank and New York's Signature Bank both failed last week, and Governor Kathy Hochul met with Democrats and Republicans March 13th in an attempt to steady investor nerves. Hochul, a Democrat, said, quote, "Our view was to make sure that the entire banking community here in New York was stable, that we can project calm, that this is a time when we could manage a certain narrow situation and to make sure that we did not get any worse, and that was our objectives, what our objectives were," unquote. Republican Mark Molinaro, who represents the 19th Congressional District, said, quote, "Last night I received a bipartisan bicameral briefing from federal regulators and this morning joined a call with Governor Kathy Hochul and the New York Congressional delegation to discuss the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. My main focus is ensuring the issues facing these banks do not spread to Main Street," unquote. Nick Reisman reports in New York State of Politics that New York Republicans brought back Ed Cox on March 13th for another term as their state chair. Local Assemblyperson Chris Tague, who represents Greene and Schoharie counties, failed in his bid to win the post. Tague was cryptic in his concession, quote, "If we do our jobs, it will be a foundation for the next generation of Republican leaders," unquote, Tague said. Quote, "No one person is bigger than our party," unquote. Cox replaces Nick Langworthy as chair, the man who replaced Cox 4 years ago. After winning the chair, Cox said, quote, "We need to build the party to a place where we can challenge the Democrats who have supermajorities in both houses of the legislature and elect the officials we need so we're a strong second party and stand up for things we believe in," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The New York State Department of Financial Services took possession of a New York chartered bank known as Signature last night. While that sounds extraordinary, that is what happens in terms of the transition from a temporary hold by the state, and it's immediately turned over to the FDIC.
In a press conference Sunday, Governor Kathy Hochul reassured New Yorkers the state's financial and banking economy was strong, despite what happened at Signature Bank. At more than $110 billion in assets, Signature is the third largest bank failure in U.S. history. The Federal Reserve and the FDIC invoked power to create a stopgap to protect investments, even those over $250,000. President Joe Biden also reassured Americans after both Silicon Valley and Signature Banks failed. The two banks signify the second and third largest bank failures in U.S. history, with Washington Mutual's failure in the 2008 financial collapse remaining the largest. Biden said fees these banks paid into a government insurance fund would cover losses and not be borne by taxpayers, but that he is seeking answers.
We must get the full accounting of what happened and why those responsible can be held accountable. In my administration, no one is above the law.
Saturday marked the third anniversary of the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. While the official public health emergency and related protections will end, Americans remain divided on whether the pandemic is truly over. A recent Gallup poll says 49% of Americans say the pandemic is over, while 51% feel it's not. Dr. William Schaffner, a professor of preventive medicine and infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, feels the U.S. and other developed nations have moved from the pandemic phase to the endemic phase.
Although the virus isn't stressing our healthcare system anymore the way it did during the pandemic time, it's still around. It's still out there being transmitted. But we're in a much better phase now. And that's because so many of us have either had COVID or been vaccinated or both.
Today is Equal Pay Day, designed to raise awareness of the U.S. gender pay gap. Pew Research Center data shows women earned 28% less than men in 2022. Washington Senator Patty Murray and Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro reintroduced the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would eliminate loopholes in the Equal Pay Act, help end patterns of pay discrimination, and strengthen workplace protections for women. DeLauro has introduced the bill in the House before, though she says partisanship has prevented its passage.
Year in and year out, a majority of Republicans in both the House and Senate, for some reason, they simply cannot get on board with what is common sense legislation, and it is about doing the right thing. Men and women in the same job deserve the same pay.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Two pieces of federal legislation introduced last week would expand mail-in voting around the country. One of those bills would also help recruit and train poll workers and provide financial support for administering elections. Last week, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden and U.S. Representative Earl Blumenauer, both from Universal Vote by Mail State, Oregon, introduced the Vote at Home Act. Oregon has conducted every election by mail since 2000. The legislation automatically registers citizens to vote when they obtain or renew driver's licenses, makes mail-in options available to all voters, and requires prepaid envelopes to return ballots. Voting by mail reached 50% during the 2020 election, up from 25% in 2018. In last fall's midterms, despite a massive disinformation campaign to discredit it, mail-in voting was still 35% of ballots cast, an indicator that voters liked the convenience of kitchen table voting. Reintroduced by U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar last week was the Sustaining Our Democracy Act, which would increase access to mail-in voting and early voting. It also provides funding for recruiting, training, and protecting poll workers, modernizing election equipment, and improving cybersecurity. And it increases funding to cities and counties administering elections. Disinformation in Congress persists, making passage of the bills uncertain. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Tuesday, March 14th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The $3.35 is the price at the Mobil in Caro, although no one wants to go to the gas station on this snowy day. The air quality forecast for Tuesday is a 25. That is low. The UV index is a 2. That is also low. The water temperature in the Hudson River is 39.31 degrees Fahrenheit. That averages on the past 10 years at just about 38 degrees, so we're more than a degree warmer than usual. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter storm warning for the entire area through 8 a.m. on Wednesday. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts snow on Tuesday. The snow could be heavy at times. The high will be only around 33 degrees, with north wind 10 to 17 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 29 miles per hour. 9 to 13 inches of snow is expected. More snow is expected on Tuesday night, mainly before 1 a.m., with a low around 27, and blustery conditions with a northwest wind 21 to 25 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour. 2 to 4 more inches expected on Tuesday evening. Wednesday, there's a slight chance of snow before 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 33, but it'll be windy with a northwest wind 23 to 26 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 48 miles per hour on Wednesday. Low around 25 Wednesday night is forecast, again with lots of wind. Northwest 15 to 23 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 41 miles per hour. On Thursday, it'll also be partly sunny, but warmer with a high of 44 and a west wind 7 to 10 miles per hour. A low around 31 is predicted. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And now we're joined once again by retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson. Welcome back, Hugh.
Good evening. I hope you're all ready for an exciting day tomorrow.
Yeah, exciting is one word for it. What's coming at us?
well, looks like snow, and it's not going to be your ordinary run-of-the-mill nor'easter. This is the one that when people say, where's the real big storm and all that? Well, this is it. This is probably going to be our big storm of the winter. I'm looking right now on a satellite picture. It's Monday evening, so we're playing this again Tuesday. You'll know the fate of the storm. But storm is brewing off the mid-Atlantic coast, and it's hooking to the east-northeast. Now, because the atmosphere is very blocked, because we've talked about this many, many times, the polar vortex collapsed in the air. The atmosphere has become very blocky compared to what it was in the wintertime. This storm cannot go offshore. It's going to get recaptured by a developing upper-level system over the Great Lakes, and you can all see this playing out now on the satellite very nicely. So it's all coming into play. So after midnight, the bewitching hour, that's when the snow is really going to start flying. Before then, it's going to be rain. It's going to be a mix of rain and snow, and then it's going to turn to all snow. And I think the brunt of the storm, are you ready for this? It's going to be between midnight tonight and 8 a.m. tomorrow. That's when the lion's share in the valley, right here in the Capital District, the lion's share of our snow will accumulate.
So did I hear you correctly that some of that polar vortex and stuff might have it stall over us and give us even more snow than predicted?
No. What I was trying to explain, I probably shouldn't even mention it, but the polar vortex about a month ago had it went to a collapse, and what it did is it basically buckled the jet and put all kinds of wrinkles in the jet, so we have a blocky atmosphere right now instead of a smooth, fast-flowing one that we had most of the winter, so we didn't get that many storms. Now we're getting, and that's one of the reasons why we're getting this storm now. It's basically all this energy being forced to, instead of going out to sea, it's going to come up and curl back from the ocean in towards New England or between Cape Cod and the Gulf of Maine.
So before the show, we were talking a little bit about what kind of snow is coming in. Did you say this is the more wet, dense, heavy kind, right? Or
absolutely, because we're looking at temperatures that will not be that cold. It's not, ironically, this kind of setup a lot of times would bring in Arctic air. It's not really bringing in that cold of air, but we're going to generate cold air by the whole storm. The storm's going to really explode in the atmosphere, and that's going to pull cold air into the system. So we're going to see what's called dynamic cooling going on tonight. So we're going to see a cool down from top to bottom, and temperatures will slowly drop to freezing, and this is going to turn into a wet, heavy snow. It's not going to be your fluffy snow, at least initially. Now, later on in the storm tomorrow, it might actually turn fluffier, even though the temperatures will rise a little bit because the air aloft will be even colder. But this is what the concern is heavy, wet snow will probably cause power lines to come down, tree limbs to come down on power lines. There's going to be at least scattered power outages. How this is all going to play out still remains to be seen. Hopefully it's not a widespread deal like in 2008. It could be, though. It's not out of the question. You could see widespread power outages. Hopefully not.
So back in 2017 on Pi Day, March 14th, we had a pretty bad storm. How is this going to compare to that one?
Well, I said last week it wouldn't compare. Now I'd say it's going to be pretty close. At my house, though, I got 23.2 inches from the Pi Day storm. The airport was actually a low outlier. It was like 17 inches, but most places got more than that. Even around the Capital District, Duanesburg got over 30 inches of snow. The difference is that was a much drier snow. There were very little power outages. It was a little bit of drifting, especially in the higher terrain. This storm, again, the wetter snow, bringing down more power lines, and there is going to be wind, but the wind's not going to come until later in the storm, until later tomorrow and tomorrow night, when the storm begins to finally slowly pull away, and it's going to be really deep and powerful by that time, and a lot of pressure gradient between us and the high pressure well to our west. So we're going to pick up some pretty good winds tomorrow night, you know, gusts to 35. That might add a little bit more to the power outage at that point. So what are we talking about snowfall amounts? I'm thinking in the immediate Capital District, anywhere from 10 to maybe 20 inches. And the reason for the big range is because it depends on where the brunt of the moisture ends up. It might end up just east of here. In this case, we'll get close to the 10 inches. But it ends up right on top of us. Look out. We're going to get bands of snow producing 2-3 inches an hour overnight and early tomorrow. And we could end up close to the 20 inches. And we're going to wake up tomorrow, it's going to be snowing to beat the band. If it isn't, then, well, all bets are off. But it looks like it's really going to be coming down right around dawn tomorrow. That's the peak of the storm.
I'm trying to distract myself with thinking about terminology. And in our emails before the show, you said that the reason it's hard to predict is that the wild card will be where the mother snow band sets up. What does that mean?
That's correct. Well, okay. What's happening, when looking at this on the radar, the satellite and radar, and we're seeing a tropical connection. We're taking a hose. You know, we talked about the hoses in California bringing tropical air into California. Well, now we're taking air from the Caribbean and the Southern Atlantic, and we're pushing it back, like a bent word backwards, towards New England, and that hose is coming right towards us. That's going to be where that's the mother load of where the mesoscale banding will occur, and even without it, we're going to see snowfall rates of 1 to 2 inches an hour later tonight through to early tomorrow morning. And where that band, exactly where that sets up, is really going to be who gets the heaviest amount of snow. And then you add the terrain on top of that. Catskills and Berkshires, they're going to get, even with the terrain's going to enhance that lift even more, and they're going to even get more accumulation. But I think we're going to be right on the edge of that hose, and that's going to be the key. If that hose just misses us to the east, which is possible, we'll get closer to 10 inches. But if it comes right over us and wraps around until tomorrow morning, we're going to get closer to 20 inches. But either way, the snow is going to continue tomorrow, but the intensity will drop off, and temperatures will start rising a little bit in the afternoon. So we may actually see roads improve in the valley. The hills, forget it, they're going to stay bad all day, and they might actually have a little bit of blowing and drifting snow developing. But in the valley, it looks like the worst will be tomorrow morning, absolutely.
The longevity of snow on the ground has many varying factors. Do you know, can you predict how long the snow is going to stick with us? Or is it just going to be a surprise little snowstorm and then 50 degrees and here come the tulips?
Not quite like that, but we are going to see, we are going to see temperatures above freezing after the storm. So and into the 40s as we go later in the week, maybe even touching 50 with some rain. So I do expect a pretty rapid melt-off. It's not going to all go away because there's going to be a lot of moisture, 1 to 2 inches of liquid in this, so it's going to take a little bit of effort. But we're going to see the snow banks come down. It's not going to stick around like it would in January and February, no. So I think it could be gone in a couple of weeks, but, you know, it's going to be around through the rest of the week. Yeah,
oh,
by
okay.
The end of March, it'll be gone. Yeah, no, it's not going to be gone.
Not as quick as I was hoping.
No, not quite that quick. Not with this amount of snow, especially if we get on the higher end, closer to 20. If we get 10, yeah, maybe early next week, but if it's 20, it'll probably be a little longer than that.
I grew up in Buffalo, where when it snowed, it started in November, and it just stayed white until February or March or sometimes April.
Yeah, because it was cold.
So this
jumping
back and forth between heavy snow and 50 and heavy snow and 50 seems weird.
No, welcome to March. This is what, actually, believe it or not, we're still running slightly above normal this March as far as temperatures. We haven't had a really cold night, and we haven't had, you know, we've had temperatures, you know, close to normal or even a little bit above during the daylight hours. So, but this is typical of especially later March and April. You get this kind of, you can have a big snow and then have a big melt off and then have another snow. It's different from the winter when the sun angles low, it's colder, the snow doesn't melt. Basically, it just piles up like you're talking about. And we've had winters like that in the past where it just doesn't melt. This will be different because it is later in the season. The blizzard of 88, which happened on the same time period, which is also the one that happened 30 years ago in the same, you know, this 12th to 14th time period, that was the only saving grace in the blizzard of 88. It was able to melt. They were able to melt the snow in 2 weeks, or it would have been, you know, there was, they couldn't do anything with it. 46 inches.
Okay, well.
We're not going to get that. We're not going to get 46 inches.
Let's hope not. Yes, we've about 30 seconds left. Anything else we should know about the weather coming up?
Just be played safe tomorrow. Just be know it could be wires down. It could be dangerous to travel. Be next to impossible in the morning, getting better in the afternoon. So I would just stay indoors if you can. And when you shovel, take your time. It's going to be heavy, wet. It's going to be hard to move. So just take your time.
Lift with the legs, not with your back.
Bingo.
Thank you so much, Hugh Johnson. It's always a pleasure to have you on our program. Oh, Bria?
Good talking with you, Hugh.
Yep, stay safe, guys. Seriously.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to talking next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is Central Control. We have the entire area under electronic surveillance. In addition to closed-circuit TV scanners, we have directional microphones in every room.
How high is the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past her knees. 3 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Mama? 4 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 4 feet high and rising. Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is coming, gonna take us to the train. Looks like we'll be blessed with a little more rain. 4 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Mama? 5 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 5 feet high and rising. Well, the rails are washed out north of town. We gotta head for higher ground. We can't come back till the water goes down. 5 feet high and rising. Well, it's 5 feet high and rising.
And I don't know if it's that quite that high yet, Johnny, but it's getting there in some places. It seems like that big band, that hose that Hugh Johnson was talking about, pointed at the Berkshires rather than the Catskills. I saw forecasters saying this late last night. The storm seemed to shift. There goes a plow headed west, followed by a car. I just saw five electric trucks head up the mountain. And a few minutes ago, the FM signal was restored on WJXC, which means power was restored out on our remote tower site, which is a good sign. They were telling us originally they wasn't going to restore till 10:30 a.m., and then they told us it was going to be at noon, and then it came on at about 9:15, I guess. So we've been on FM for the past, maybe it's just only been about 5 minutes. There goes another car up the mountain. We're suggesting not taking trips if possible. Route 23 has not been in great shape, and that means the back roads are in worse shape, since Route 23 is going to be the most plowed road. But we'll show you, let you listen how many plows come by. We just heard one. I haven't seen one in, I can't remember the last time I saw one, but I wasn't paying as close attention as I am at the moment. So we'll see how often it takes to get the second plow truck on Route 23. It's a car headed up the mountain. Snowing has got a little harder and a little more horizontal lately, so the wind has picked up. It seemed like it got a little lighter, but now I think it's a little harder again. And definitely the wind blowing is making it either horizontal or at an angle. But we're expecting several more inches, several more hours of snow. It's supposed to continue snowing until early morning Wednesday. We expect another round of delays and closures and announcements of things not happening. And we'll bring them to you as they happen. But right now, all the schools are closed locally. And you're not, there is a state of emergency in all the counties locally. You're not encouraged to go out if you can't help it. Another plow truck headed west up the mountain. So that's two plow trucks in less than 5 minutes. So that's a good sign. Like you heard, the temperature will be going up. So around Catskill, around Hudson, it may be getting, the roads are in better shape sooner than up in Hunter and Windham, where it'll be colder and more snowy. And more snow is expected in those higher locations, too. So not too much traffic on the roads, and that's a good thing. Try to stay out if you can. It looks like basically today is not a good travel day. And then by tomorrow morning might be a little rough, but depending how soon this ends and what the temperature is, the roads might be in good shape, at least by tomorrow afternoon. So certainly seems like Wednesday afternoon things will be drivable again. Maybe not your driveway, but the roads at least. And it is a heavy wet snow, so if you go out there, you might want to do the shoveling in different times, but don't do too much at once, lift with your legs. But it is a heavy, heavy wet snow. We're right almost near the edge of freezing right now. Right now, MarySky.net says it's 33 degrees in Hudson, but it feels like 22 degrees. In Albany, the National Weather Service also says it's 33 degrees, so 1 degree centigrade. So that is good for the roads. So once the plows uncover the blacktop and the light will help it stay melty if it's above freezing temperature-wise locally. And it seems like it is not on the mountaintop. So the mountaintop, you'll expect more snow and more cold temperatures. But let's find out some more information, and we'll be back in a moment on the WGXC Morning Show, live from Acre.
Thank you. cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. The type of memories that turn your bones to glass. Turn your bones to glass. Mother came rushing in. She said we didn't see a thing. We said we didn't see a thing. And father left at 8, nearly splintering the gate. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. The type of memories that turn your bones to glass. Turn your bones to glass. And though you were just a little squirrel, understood every word. And in this way they gave you clarity, a cold-blooded clarity. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. How can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? How can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? Those cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times.
And hopefully we're not seeing or hearing too many people coming and going on Route 23 as the snow continues to come down fairly hard and not quite horizontal anymore. The wind isn't quite as hard as it was a few minutes ago, but it's coming down slant. There goes a truck up the mountain. We have seen several plow trucks. The road is getting in better shape, but the side roads are still in covered in snow throughout the area. It's like a delivery truck heading up the mountain and a regular truck. Another car headed up the mountain. Looks like maybe people are going to ski. Most of the traffic seems to be in the direction of up the mountain into the storm. Although it seems like the Berkshires may have got it worse than the Catskills. We're still getting all the reports in, but that's what it seems like. But in the last few minutes of the WGXC morning show, we are listening in to the sounds of the snowstorm.
You're listening to Pond Station.
Askland is up next with the Forgotten Geek from Catskill, beaming in during the snowstorm here. WGXC 90.7 FM. Got the early electro mix show at 11 a.m. And at noon, Rob Saffer is playing the Overlooked, or is he playing Overlooked or Ornette Coleman today, I think? After the local news at noon. On your creative community radio station, we're listening to the storm. Plow truck that was not getting the main part of the road, but I think a bunch of slush on the side, and it really threw it at the Quintron Traffic Sack's microphone. It was like a direct hit, I think, of slush you could see thrown for like 10 or 15 feet. So that was the sound of a plow truck on Route 23. And the WGXC morning show. So stay safe out there. Stay off the roads if you can. We're heading to Catskill with Corey in the next couple minutes. Then we're heading to Ulster County afternoon with Overlooked after the local news at noon. Stay tuned to your creative community radio station all day. We'll have weather updates throughout.